points off the...
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, Grand Avenue. We'll get you the location and all the info coming up as we move through the show. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Getting a few showers this morning, so cleaning off some of the dirt on the car anyway. You know, that helps. Always looking for the positive side of things. Anyway, if you have any kind of a car care question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, and thanks for that, but you know then our time is pretty limited. It goes by rather quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. So in the meantime, any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead to ask a detailed question. If you drive and you're having problems with your vehicle, call us or text us. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Already we're getting text messages, Nick. I wanted to talk, we always like to talk about this time of year with parents and grandparents, maybe helping a college or high school a grad buying a new, I should say a used vehicle. And a good idea that we mention every year about this time is to get it checked out, right, before you buy. What kind of a checkup are we talking about here?
Any used car, especially with the cost and value of used cars now, you should have it thoroughly inspected. And what I mean by that is, you know, at the shop will pull the vehicle in, get it up in the air, and we kind of go front to back, top to bottom, and just kind of touch everything, quite honestly, to make sure things are wearing as they should. It doesn't appear there's any catastrophic issues in the near future. And also, what you're being sold is as advertised, meaning, you know, if someone's telling you there's, you know, an original motor and we have some signs to believe that it's a replacement motor or other signs of maybe a repair that's not up to our standards, we want to be able to share that with our customer and the potential buyer, that therefore they can go back to the seller and ask some more questions and get some more information. So I think a used vehicle inspection, you know, any dealership or shop should be able to perform that for you. And it's, I think, really important to make sure you know what you're buying.
About how long does that checkup take? And I know it's hard because of the variables as far as cost, but just ballpark.
You know, typically it's an hour, maybe a little bit more. And unfortunately, we're getting to that time of the year where, you know, places are very busy. So if you're looking at buying a vehicle and maybe you can go out and look at a few of them this weekend, I would say schedule an appointment, coordinate with the place you're buying the vehicle from, so sometime in the next few days you can bring it in, have it assessed, and, you know, keep going forward with the process.
Yeah, good idea. Like you said, no matter where or when or for whatever reason, you're buying a used vehicle for a grad or not. Again, 651-461-9226. A texter says this. This sounds like somebody who kind of knows a whole lot more than I do about vehicles, which isn't saying much. 2014 Toyota Sienna clunks in the left front end when slowly turning left. My trusted mechanic, Texter says the struts and brakes are okay. Any thoughts on steering intermediate shaft needing grease or a bad lower control arm bushing? Wow.
You know, I think the lower control arm bushing's possible. If it was the steering shaft, which is kind of the base of the steering column, so you have the steering wheel, and then as it goes through to the column, down to the rack and pinion, that's the mechanical connection for your steering. If that intermediate shaft was needing lubrication, I would think it's something you could get to behave just sitting stationary and kind of wiggling the steering wheel back and forth. So usually a turn and a clunk, we think it's something more substantial, like a lower control arm. You know, they mentioned the struts are fine, but I'd be curious about the strut mounts at the top of the suspension there. Those are the two main, like, pivot points for the suspension. At the very top, it's the top of the strut, the mount, and at the very bottom, it's the control arm. So usually those two areas can shift, and it's not very much, not really visible, but you can hear it, almost feel it in the car. So those are the areas I'd probably look a little further into.
All right, very good. Good luck with that, Texter. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I do believe Brian is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Brian. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've got a 08 Toyota Sienna van, and I've replaced the air fuel sensor, knock sensor, and had a cracked coil pack on one of the plugs. all within about a 12-month period. It has a new air cleaner. This, I'm starting to feel like there's one of the plugs. All within about a 12-month period, it has a new air cleaner. This, I'm starting to feel like there's something behind all this rough running and things going wrong. Wonder if you had any ideas.
Well, what we would do is maybe, you know, stop, take a break, try to maybe look back at some of the data, or if there's any information or fault codes that have been stored with all these problems that you've had. Once we have that information, we would try to, like, okay, what is in common? You know, I mean, is there anything here that is in common with one another? You know, a NOx sensor, air fuel ratio sensor, I wouldn't think so. The NOx sensor reads or detects pinging pre-detonation in the engine, so therefore the timing can adjust. An air fuel ratio sensor, otherwise known as an oxygen sensor, is reading what's coming out of the engine, the byproduct of it, meaning the exhaust, and it tells the computer how to adjust the mixture of the fuel. So those are kind of two different areas. I'm not saying there couldn't be something related, and then the coil being the third, that's probably just an age thing. You know, there's a little bit of epoxy at the top of those. Sometimes that epoxy can fail and crack, creating a misfire. So I don't think necessarily, you know, there's a catastrophic problem looming, but it could be just a matter of the car's got some miles on it, a few years on it, and you happen to hit one of those moments in its life where, boy, I sure seem to be doing a lot of work here. Come to find out, in the next year, you might have to do nothing. So I would say collect the information, take it to your shop and say, hey, this kind of feels strange. What do you think? And just hear it out, but likely you'll probably be fine going forward.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners, Nick, to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a car care question you might have this morning before Nick takes his leave, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we moved to 48 degrees. Those showers are occurring, probably will kind of lighten up around lunchtime or so. We'll get up to about 61 today, but a nice day tomorrow here in the Twin Cities. Sunny skies near 69 tomorrow. That's the prediction. Right now, 48, light rain on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Welcoming Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, again, for those who maybe need some help from you or your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, if you have a call or need advice or what have, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then, as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any kind of a car care question, any kind, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Call it in or text it in. Texting like a lot of folks are doing. Here is another one. And I know where you and we here on the show as well are getting questions about electronic vehicles, electric vehicles, EVs. Texter wants to know, how long do those batteries last, if you have ever heard so far?
You know, we haven't had to replace one yet. Anything I read, you know, there's a cycle to every battery, so it's likely to depend on your driving style and habits and the charge rate. But to say 10, 15 years seems reasonable. I think that will be true. As they become more popular or more common, we'll probably have a little more information on that. But at this point, I haven't heard any fear of a battery lasting too short of a time. So I think it's up to this point, it's a pretty good technology.
There's another, I just noticed another question, wondering if you know if electric vehicles are practical for the harsh Minnesota winters? I think that's a fair question.
Kind of along the same lines, it really depends. You know, if you live close to work, you're kind of in a tight-knit community where your drive distances aren't very far, you have easily accessible to a charging unit, whether at home or work, I think it's a good fit. If you drive a lot for a living and you have to be able to get up and go at a moment's notice, maybe it doesn't fit as well. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about electric cars because it's a new technology and it's all over the news. It'll work its way and it'll find its niche. You know, do I know if it'll ever be the mainstay? I have no idea, obviously.
Yeah.
But I feel that there's a place for it in our world where it's very practical. It might not be a good fit for everyone, at least not yet.
But as we've talked before, internal combustion engines, would guess, will be around for a while.
Yeah, and, you know, there's more and more of like the hybrid, plug-in hybrid combination where you have the best of all worlds. And my opinion, that's, I think, the most practical approach at this point. You know, as technology evolves and things evolve, they always change. But where we sit now, from my opinion, I think that like a plug-in hybrid is a very practical option.
Sure. Texter says this, Nick. Good morning. I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer. Wanted to know what would cause the check engine light to come on all of a sudden when the vehicle had not been driven for 6 weeks and the engine seems to run like normal.
You know, that check engine light, by definition, is an emissions light. So a lot of things can make that happen. A loose gas cap, all the way to the extreme of a misfire in the engine. So it might just be that the last time they drove the vehicle, they filled it with fuel, the car's been sitting, they go to fire it up, and then it does a self-test. It detects what they would consider a leak, which is just the cap not being tight. We'll set a code. So if it's running fine, maybe take a few days, go about your business. If it continues to stay on, maybe, you know, contact, being it's a 2023, contact a dealership. I would think they'd take a look at that for you and give you some advice.
Okay. Texter says this, Nick. They have a 2011 F-150 pickup, 5-liter V8, only 17,000 miles on it. It's 13 years old, however. Question is, do you think that I should install new spark plugs at least to just to verify that they are not rusted in place?
Yes. So when we look at the maintenance schedule, which we always talk about, Denny, there's always miles, miles, miles. Time also has an effect on things, you know, even tires. You know, if you have a set of tires that are 10 or 15 years old, they probably need to be replaced. That rubber compound has changed, and it might not be as reliable or trustworthy as it once was. Probably won't grip the road as well. Spark plugs, they're still, I mean, a spark plug sitting on the shelf won't expire. Sitting in the engine's not going to wear out. However, the heating and cooling of our climate, you get a little bit of corrosion. Different types of metals with the spark plug and the cylinder head. Corrosion can happen. That could become seized, which goes from a simple repair to a very complex repair. So I would be, if I have a older vehicle with very low miles, I would take it in and say, hey, here's the situation. There's hardly any miles on the vehicle, and it's 10 or 15 years old. Are there any things that we need to take a closer look at just because of age? You know, hoses, belts, even the spark plugs. Probably not a bad idea.
All right, I'm looking at a text, Nick, that when the texter sent it in, they send it in about 10 times. And not the same question, but a question they write a line of it and then they send it. And so it's going to take me a while to put this piece of the pieces of the puzzle together. So let's let me give it a go here. 2014 Kia Sorento. I had the ignition starter replaced 3 years ago, and I'm noticing about a month ago when I start the car, most of the time, a quick start, no problem. They noticed, oh boy. I tell you what, it's going to have to take me a while to get a close up. So I urge the texter or texters, when you do send a text, let's make it one paragraph instead of 12. That would help me put it together. There's a question here, though, about coolant change. How often do you recommend changing the coolant in your vehicle? I guess that would depend on what the manufacturer said.
You know, absolutely. I would say the 100,000-mile time frame seems to be a common theme. Obviously, inspecting the condition, the protection level. Same thing like we just talked about spark plugs. You know, the coolant itself is fine, but there's a lot of additives. There's unlike metals within the cooling system between the engine block, the cylinder head, the radiator, and sometimes you get some corrosion or some buildup, and we want to flush that out and keep things lubricated and working properly. So look at the owner's manual, but typically I would expect it to tell you somewhere around 100,000 miles.
Oh, okay. We're going to take a break for weather. see when this rain will end. But if you have any kind of a car care question, keep in mind we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, because Nick will take his leave in about 15 minutes from now. So call us or text us 651-461-9226 with any question, car care question you may have in mind. 651-461-9226. We'll get the weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, wouldn't you know, I know our time is running out here, a few minutes to go. Tons of calls and texts, so let's see how many folks we can answer. Kind of a lightning round, I guess. Nancy is first up here calling from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Nancy. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I was driving through the mountains coming back from Arizona in the 1st of March. And when I got into Texas, my car, when I would drive, I could hit the floorboard and I'd lose mileage of speed. And then it would kick back in again, and then it would stop and start. And I stopped at a mechanic's, and he did a diagnostic on it. And he said he thought it might be something with the transmission. And then I was told that I used the cruise control in the mountains, and it was fighting against the engine. Is that possible? I've never had any problem since.
What do you think, Nick?
That's strange. You know, the cruise control will accelerate the vehicle for you. It'll also coast the vehicle for you. So I would say if it's been fine since, maybe there's some truth to what they were saying, that something kind of maybe got a little bit mixed up. I wouldn't, you know, that's the beginning of March. It's been a couple months you've been home. I would say if it goes the summer with no issues, if you're headed back west in the fall, maybe have it looked at again before you go. But I don't think there's any reason to be alarmed. It's been another 800 miles since then, at least, and it seems to be fine.
Interesting. All right, another phone call. We're checking in with Debbie, calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Debbie. What can we do for you?
Hi. How you doing? I bought a 2015 Chrysler Town & Country. Says use E85. When I stopped at a gas station that didn't have E85, the mechanic said use regular because you don't know who owned the car before you. What kind of gas should I use at this time?
When it has that yellow cap and says E85, that's an option. You're not required to use the E85, which is a higher alcohol content fuel and not as easily available as you've learned. So you can use regular fuel. That's fine. It costs a little bit more, the regular fuel does, but it also gets better gas mileage. You can do a little test of your own, but my experience has been the savings in cost often is offset by the fuel economy, meaning that it's less expensive, but you get less miles. So I would work it both ways, but I think you'll find that it's easier just to use regular unleaded.
Yeah, so you can use both. Let's go to another phone call. Wow, we have a ton. Dan is next up here on CCO. Dan is calling from Eden Prairie. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Good morning to you guys.
Morning.
I've got an old pickup truck. It's a Ford 1994. It's a 302 5.0. And when I drive it, when I'm driving along at a certain speed, like 60, and I decide I'm going to speed up a tiny bit, I step on the gas and it starts to spit and sput and putter. And somebody said the mass airflow sensor might be bad. So when I unplug the mass airflow sensor, it runs great. But when I plug it in, it starts to do that same thing again. But it gets really bad gas mileage when I unplug the mass airflow sensor. And I'm wondering, I got a new one. It didn't do any good. And I don't know if I got a faulty one, or if that could be the problem, if it would be a different problem.
Well, I'd take a step back. You know, the mass airflow sensor is an input. You try to replace it by putting a part in it, which sometimes can work, but can be very expensive as you're learning. I would take a step back. Let's figure out why is it sputtering, misfiring under acceleration, under load. So if you're under a load and you're accelerating, you're putting pressure on a lot of parts in the engine, I start to think about spark plugs, misfire, ignition coil. So I think what you should do is maybe take it to your local shop out there, have them take it for a test drive, have them, you know, ride along with you, feel what's going on, and maybe go down a little bit more of a defined path versus just kind of trying different things. It can work, but sometimes it can be frustrating and very costly.
Okay. Another phone call. Let's go to Maple Grove. Ron is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Hi, Ron. What is your question?
Yeah, I've got a 2023 Toyota Highlander Hybrid that I just took in. The light came on for maintenance required at 5,000, so we just assumed it was time for an oil change and stuff like that. Brought it into the Toyota dealer, and he said, well, we're just going to do a tire rotation and maintenance check. We don't do the oil changes till 10,000. And I'm thinking, well, the synthetic, that's probably fine. But I think about the filter. So do you think that's the new thing, 10,000 miles for your first oil change?
I disagree. I think 5,000 miles, I understand that there's a maintenance program. Maybe it's included with the purchase of the vehicle. That being said, they can give you a free one every 10,000 miles. But you should, if you're like me, you're going to keep the vehicle for a long time. That oil change every 5,000 miles on a synthetic will save you lots of money in repair down the road. So I understand that there's maintenance schedules and recommendations, but my experience would tell you every 5,000 miles from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, time for one more call, and I'm going to save the text messages, and we'll open up the show next week with those listeners' texts. Wayne, in the meantime, calling in from Rockford. Hi, Wayne, what is your question?
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm an old car guy. I have a 1976 Ford F-250, 390 that I drive just in the summer. I show it a lot. It's an original body. Question is on body parts. I'm looking at possibly some tie rod ends, maybe a drag link. A question is, I have the catalogs, for example, like the restoration, like Autocrafters, Max, NPD that specialize in that. Are those parts better than if I go to, let's say, Napa?
You know, as cars age, there's less and less options out there. There's still a lot of vendors out there. So my opinion is if you go to a parts store and you buy their upper line, top line part, especially in some of this vintage stuff, it's going to be comparable. I don't think if you're looking for something higher end, I'm sure you can find that also through some of those catalogs. But going to a local store, buying their better quality part, I think will serve you just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you get what you pay for usually. Nick, we have to run. For those that need the help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys again?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do just that. And, Nick, have a good week. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here. Stay with us. Then Lawn and Garden Talk at 8 on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, Grand Avenue. We'll get you the location and all the info coming up as we move through the show. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
Getting a few showers this morning, so cleaning off some of the dirt on the car anyway. You know, that helps. Always looking for the positive side of things. Anyway, if you have any kind of a car care question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, and thanks for that, but you know then our time is pretty limited. It goes by rather quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning, making way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. So in the meantime, any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead to ask a detailed question. If you drive and you're having problems with your vehicle, call us or text us. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Already we're getting text messages, Nick. I wanted to talk, we always like to talk about this time of year with parents and grandparents, maybe helping a college or high school a grad buying a new, I should say a used vehicle. And a good idea that we mention every year about this time is to get it checked out, right, before you buy. What kind of a checkup are we talking about here?
Any used car, especially with the cost and value of used cars now, you should have it thoroughly inspected. And what I mean by that is, you know, at the shop will pull the vehicle in, get it up in the air, and we kind of go front to back, top to bottom, and just kind of touch everything, quite honestly, to make sure things are wearing as they should. It doesn't appear there's any catastrophic issues in the near future. And also, what you're being sold is as advertised, meaning, you know, if someone's telling you there's, you know, an original motor and we have some signs to believe that it's a replacement motor or other signs of maybe a repair that's not up to our standards, we want to be able to share that with our customer and the potential buyer, that therefore they can go back to the seller and ask some more questions and get some more information. So I think a used vehicle inspection, you know, any dealership or shop should be able to perform that for you. And it's, I think, really important to make sure you know what you're buying.
About how long does that checkup take? And it, I know it's hard because of the variables as far as cost, but just ballpark.
You know, typically it's an hour, maybe a little bit more. And unfortunately, we're getting to that time of the year where, you know, places are very busy. So if you're looking at buying a vehicle and you're maybe can go look at a few of them this weekend, I would say schedule an appointment, coordinate with the place you're buying the vehicle from, so sometime in the next few days you can bring it in, have it assessed, and, you know, keep going forward with the process.
Yeah, good idea. Like you said, no matter where or when or for whatever reason, you're buying a used vehicle for a grad or not. Again, 651-461-9226. A texter says this. This sounds like somebody who kind of knows a whole lot more than I do about vehicles, which isn't saying much. 2014 Toyota Sienna clunks in the left front end when slowly turning left. My trusted mechanic, texter says the struts and brakes are okay. Any thoughts on steering intermediate shaft needing grease or a bad lower control arm bushing? Wow.
You know, I think the lower control arm bushing's possible. If it was the steering shaft, which is kind of the base of the steering column, so you have the steering wheel, and then as it goes through to the column, down to the rack and pinion, that's the mechanical connection for your steering. If that intermediate shaft was needing lubrication, I would think it's something you could get to behave just sitting stationary and kind of wiggling the steering wheel back and forth. So usually a turn and a clunk, we think it's something more substantial, like a lower control arm. You know, they mentioned the struts are fine, but I'd be curious about the strut mounts at the top of the suspension there. Those are the two main, like, pivot points for the suspension. At the very top, it's the top of the strut, the mount, and at the very bottom, it's the control arm. So usually those two areas can shift, and it's not very much, not really visible, but you can hear it, almost feel it in the car. So those are the areas I'd probably look a little further into.
All right, very good. Good luck with that, texter. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I do believe Brian is calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Brian. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've got a 08 Toyota Sienna van, and I've replaced the air fuel sensor, knock sensor, and had a cracked coil pack on one of the plugs, all within about a 12-month period. It has a new air cleaner. I'm starting to feel like there's on one of the plugs, all within about a 12-month period. It has a new air cleaner. I'm starting to feel like there's something behind all this rough running and things going wrong. Wonder if you had any ideas.
Well, what we would do is maybe, you know, stop, take a break, try to maybe look back at some of the data, if there's any information or fault codes that have been stored with all these problems that you've had. Once we have that information, we would try to, like, okay, what is in common? You know, I mean, is there anything here that is in common with one another? You know, a knock sensor, air fuel ratio sensor, I wouldn't think so. The knock sensor reads or detects pinging, pre-detonation in the engine, so therefore the timing can adjust. An air fuel ratio sensor, otherwise known as an oxygen sensor, is reading what's coming out of the engine, the byproduct of it, meaning the exhaust, and it tells the computer how to adjust the mixture of the fuel. So those are kind of two different areas. I'm not saying there couldn't be something related. And then the coil being the third, that's probably just an age thing. You know, there's a little bit of epoxy at the top of those. Sometimes that epoxy can fail and crack, creating a misfire. So I don't think necessarily you know, there's a catastrophic problem looming, but it could be just a matter of the car's got some miles on it, a few years on it, and you happen to hit one of those moments in its life where, boy, I sure seem to be doing a lot of work here. Come to find out, in the next year, you might have to do nothing. So I would say collect the information, take it to your shop, and say, hey, this kind of feels strange. What do you think? And just hear it out, but likely you'll probably be fine going forward.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners, Nick, to join in on the conversation. Any kind of a car care question you might have this morning before Nick takes his leave, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 48 degrees. Those showers are occurring. Probably will kind of lighten up around lunchtime or so. We'll get up to about 61 today, but a nice day tomorrow here in the Twin Cities. Sunny skies near 69 tomorrow. That's the prediction. Right now, 48, light rain on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Welcoming Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, again, for those who maybe need some help from you or your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, if you have a call or need advice or what have, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then, as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. So if you have any kind of a car care question, any kind, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Call it in or text it in. Texting like a lot of folks are doing. Here is another one. And I know where you and we here on the show as well are getting questions about electronic vehicles, electric vehicles, EVs. Texter wants to know, how long do those batteries last, if you have ever heard so far?
You know, we haven't had to replace one yet. Anything I read, you know, there's a cycle to every battery, so it's likely to depend on your driving style and habits and the charge rate. But to say 10, 15 years seems reasonable. I think that will be true. As they become more popular or more common, we'll probably have a little more information on that. But at this point, I haven't heard any fear of a battery lasting too short of a time. So I think it's up to this point, it's a pretty good technology.
There's another, I just noticed another question, wondering if you know if electric vehicles are practical for the harsh Minnesota winters? I think that's a fair question.
Kind of along the same lines, it really depends. You know, if you live close to work, you're kind of in a tight-knit community where your drive distances aren't very far, you have easily accessible to a charging unit, whether at home or work, I think it's a good fit. If you drive a lot for a living and you have to be able to get up and go at a moment's notice, maybe it doesn't fit as well. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about electric cars because it's a new technology and it's all over the news. It'll work its way and it'll find its niche. You know, do I know if it'll ever be the mainstay? I have no idea, obviously.
Yeah.
But I feel that there's a place for it in our world where it's very practical. It might not be a good fit for everyone, at least not yet.
But as we've talked before, internal combustion engines, would guess, will be around for a while.
Yeah, and, you know, there's more and more of like the hybrid, plug-in hybrid combination where you have the best of all worlds. And my opinion, that's, I think, the most practical approach at this point. You know, as technology evolves and things evolve, they always change. But where we sit now, from my opinion, I think that like a plug-in hybrid is a very practical option.
Sure. Texter says this, Nick. Good morning. I have a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer. Wanted to know what would cause the check engine light to come on all of a sudden when the vehicle had not been driven for 6 weeks and the engine seems to run like normal.
You know, that check engine light, by definition, is an emissions light. So a lot of things can make that happen. A loose gas cap, all the way to the extreme of a misfire in the engine. So it might just be that the last time they drove the vehicle, they filled it with fuel, the car's been sitting, they go to fire it up, and then it does a self-test. It detects what they would consider a leak, which is just the cap not being tight. We'll set a code. So if it's running fine, maybe take a few days, go about your business. If it continues to stay on, maybe, you know, contact, being it's a 2023, contact a dealership. I would think they'd take a look at that for you and give you some advice.
Okay. Texter says this, Nick. They have a 2011 F-150 pickup, 5-liter V8, only 17,000 miles on it. It's 13 years old, however. Question is, do you think that I should install new spark plugs at least to just to verify that they are not rusted in place?
Yes. So when we look at the maintenance schedule, which we always talk about, Denny, there's always miles, miles, miles. Time also has an effect on things, you know, even tires. You know, if you have a set of tires that are 10 or 15 years old, they probably need to be replaced. That rubber compound has changed, and it might not be as reliable or trustworthy as it once was. Probably won't grip the road as well. Spark plugs, they're still, I mean, a spark plug sitting on the shelf won't expire. Sitting in the engine's not going to wear out. However, the heating and cooling of our climate, you get a little bit of corrosion. Different types of metals with the spark plug and the cylinder head. Corrosion can happen. That could become seized, which goes from a simple repair to a very complex repair. So I would be, if I have a older vehicle with very low miles, I would take it in and say, hey, here's the situation. There's hardly any miles on the vehicle, and it's 10 or 15 years old. Are there any things that we need to take a closer look at just because of age? You know, hoses, belts, even the spark plugs. Probably not a bad idea.
All right, I'm looking at a text, Nick, that when the texters send it in, they send it in about 10 times. And not the same question, but a question they write a line of it and then they send it. And so it's going to take me a while to put this piece of the pieces of the puzzle together. So let's let me give it a go here. 2014 Kia Sorento. I had the ignition starter replaced 3 years ago, and I'm noticing about a month ago when I start the car, most of the time a quick start, no problem. They noticed, oh boy. I tell you what, it's going to have to take me a while to get a close up. So I urge the texter or texters, when you do send a text, let's make it one paragraph instead of 12. That would help me put it together. There's a question here, though, about coolant change. How often do you recommend changing the coolant in your vehicle? I guess that would depend on what the manufacturer said.
You know, absolutely. I would say the 100,000-mile time frame seems to be a common theme. Obviously, inspecting the condition, the protection level. Same thing like we just talked about spark plugs. You know, the coolant itself is fine, but there's a lot of additives. There's unlike metals within the cooling system between the engine block, the cylinder head, the radiator, and sometimes you get some corrosion or some buildup, and we want to flush that out and keep things lubricated and working properly. So look at the owner's manual, but typically I would expect it to tell you somewhere around 100,000 miles.
Oh, okay. We're going to take a break for weather, see when this rain will end. But if you have any kind of a car care question, keep in mind we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, because Nick will take his leave in about 15 minutes from now. So call us or text us 651-461-9226 with any question, car care question you may have in mind. 651-461-9226. We'll get the weather straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, wouldn't you know, I know our time is running out here, a few minutes to go. Tons of calls and texts, so let's see how many folks we can answer. Kind of a lightning round, I guess. Nancy is first up here calling from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Nancy. What's your question?
Hi. My question is, I was driving through the mountains coming back from Arizona in the 1st of March. And when I got into Texas, my car, when I would drive, I could hit the floorboard and I'd lose mileage, speed. and then it would kick back in again, and then it would stop and start. And I stopped at a mechanic's, and he did a diagnostic on it. And he said he thought it might be something with the transmission. And then I was told that I used the cruise control in the mountains, and it was fighting against the engine. Is that possible? I've never had any problem since.
What do you think, Nick?
That's strange. You know, the cruise control will accelerate the vehicle for you. It'll also coast the vehicle for you. So I would say if it's been fine since, maybe there's some truth to what they were saying, that something kind of maybe got a little bit mixed up. I wouldn't, you know, at the beginning of March, it's been a couple months you've been home. I would say if it goes the summer with no issues, if you're headed back west in the fall, maybe have it looked at again before you go. But I don't think there's any reason to be alarmed. It's been another 800 miles since then, at least, and it seems to be fine.
Interesting. All right, another phone call. We're checking in with Debbie, calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Debbie. What can we do for you?
Hi. How you doing? I bought a 2015 Chrysler Town & Country. It says use E85. When I stopped at a gas station that didn't have E85, the mechanic said use regular because you don't know who owned the car before you. What kind of gas should I use at this time?
When it has that yellow cap and says E85, that's an option. You're not required to use the E85, which is a higher alcohol content fuel and not as easily available as you've learned. So you can use regular fuel. That's fine. It costs a little bit more, the regular fuel does, but it also gets better gas mileage. You can do a little test of your own, but my experience has been the savings in cost often is offset by the fuel economy, meaning that it's less expensive, but you get less miles. So I would work it both ways, but I think you'll find that it's easier just to use regular unleaded.
Yeah, so you can use both. Let's go to another phone call. Wow, we have a ton. Dan is next up here on CCO. Dan is calling from Eden Prairie. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Good morning to you guys.
Morning.
I've got an old pickup truck. It's a Ford 1994. It's a 302 5.0. And when I drive it, when I'm driving along at a certain speed, like 60, and I decide I'm going to speed up a tiny bit, I step on the gas and it starts to spit and sput and putter. And somebody said the mass airflow sensor might be bad. So when I unplug the mass airflow sensor, it runs great. But when I plug it in, it starts to do that same thing again. But it gets really bad gas mileage when I unplug the mass airflow sensor. And I'm wondering, I got a new one. It didn't do any good. And I don't know if I got a faulty one or if that could be the problem, if it would be a different problem.
Well, I'd take a step back. You know, the mass airflow sensor is an input. You tried to replace it by putting a part in it, which sometimes can work, but can be very expensive as you're learning. I would take a step back. Let's figure out why is it sputtering, misfiring under acceleration, under load. So if you're under a load and you're accelerating, you're putting pressure on a lot of parts in the engine. I start to think about spark plugs, misfire, ignition coil. So I think what you should do is maybe take it to your local shop out there, have them take it for a test drive, have them, you know, ride along with you, feel what's going on, and maybe go down a little bit more of a defined path versus just kind of trying different things. It can work, but sometimes it can be frustrating and very costly.
Okay. Another phone call. Let's go to Maple Grove. Ron is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Hi, Ron. What is your question?
Yeah, I've got a 2023 Toyota Highlander Hybrid that I just took in. The light came on for maintenance required at 5,000, so we just assumed it was a time for an oil change and stuff like that. Brought it into the Toyota dealer, and he said, well, we're just going to do a tire rotation, a maintenance check. We don't do the oil changes till 10,000. And I'm thinking, well, the synthetic, that's probably fine, but I think about the filter. So do you think that's the new thing, 10,000 miles for your first oil change?
I disagree. I think 5,000 miles, I understand that there's a maintenance program. Maybe it's included with the purchase of the vehicle. That being said, they can give you a free one every 10,000 miles, but you should, if you're like me, you're going to keep the vehicle for a long time. That oil change every 5,000 miles on a synthetic will save you lots of money in repair down the road. So I understand that there's maintenance schedules and recommendations, but my experience would tell you every 5,000 miles from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, time for one more call, and I'm going to save the text messages, and we'll open up the show next week with those listeners' texts. Wayne, in the meantime, calling in from Rockford. Hi, Wayne, what is your question?
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm an old car guy. I have a 1976 Ford F-250, 390 that I drive just in the summer. I show it a lot. It's an original body. Question is on body parts. I'm looking at possibly some tie rod ends, maybe a drag link. A question is, I have the catalogs, for example, like the restoration, like Autocrafters, Max, Ed and PD that specialize in that. Are those parts better than if I go to, let's say, Napa?
You know, as cars age, there's less and less options out there. There's still a lot of vendors out there. So my opinion is if you go to a parts store and you buy their upper line, top line part, especially in some of this vintage stuff, it's going to be comparable. I don't think if you're looking for something higher end, I'm sure you can find that also through some of those catalogs. But going to a local store, buying their better quality part, I think will serve you just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you get what you pay for usually. Nick, we have to run. For those that need the help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys again?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, give us a call, 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, swing and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then, as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do just that. And, Nick, have a good week. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead here. Stay with us. Then Lawn and Garden Talk at 8 on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.